just about, call today's message, Journey Through the Fog, A Route to the New Normal. And I don't know if you hate fog, but I absolutely hate fog. Okay. And I find fog is one of those things that I don't like it, because it seems to slow me down. It makes things harder to know where you're going. And at the beginning of the year, I take my dog out running quite early in the morning. And when I go out early in the morning, especially in winter, my sister always teases me. She thinks I'm becoming a mountaineer. So I've got my hat, my gloves, I've got multiple layers on, I've got my fluorescents, I've got lights on my head, I've got the dog with loads of lights lit up all over her as well. And we always go heading out running. And when it's foggy, it is so difficult, especially as one of the routes that I run with the dog every morning, it's going across some fields. And when there's fog, you can't see what's going on in front of you. And there was a few times when I had my headlight on, it was dark, it was foggy, and I had to run down this one path. And all I kept thinking to myself was, if I fall over, no one's going to find me. You know, one of those moments of in the dark, and what's going to happen? And I could sort of keep running down there. And the problem with this fog is that you don't know what's coming up in front of you. There was a few times when I ran, and next thing I know, I've nearly run into a person who was coming out the fog in the same the opposite direction to me. And I didn't spot them, and I nearly flattened them. There was another time when I ran around the corner, and as I came around the corner, there was a horse in front of me. I don't know about you, but the last thing I expected first thing in the morning was a horse standing there, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And the one thing, I still think this was Margaret, because it was near her house. But we were running in the dark, and something jumped out the bush at us, okay? And it terrified me and the dog. And I still don't know what it was today, but I still think it's Margaret. Okay, they're hiding at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was one of those moments where I was just, oh my God, I didn't know what it was. And even today, it could have been a cat, it could have been a rat, it could have been a fox, it could have been anything. But because of the fog, I haven't got a clue what was there. But the thing I've learned about running in fog is this. When you run in fog, you've literally got to slow down and take one step at a time. You've just got to go slowly through the fog. And I've also learned this, that when there's fog, the sun will eventually shine again. The sun will eventually burn through the fog, and things will appear again, and we'll see color. And the reality is, for us churches, for businesses, for everyone in the UK and the world, in fact, the last 18 months has felt like walking through the fog, where you haven't got a clue what's coming next. We're kind of hoping tomorrow that Boris Johnson is going to say that things are going to open up on the 19th, but we haven't got a clue really, do we? It could all change last minute. And it's going through the fog. But I believe that the lot of changes that have happened in the last 18 months were changes that were probably going to happen anyway in the world. All that COVID-19 has done has accelerated the change that was happening before. I was reading about this last few weeks, and this is some of the changes that the sort of clever people are predicting is going to happen in the church in the West. It's this. They're saying that people are going to connect with church physically, like in person, but also digitally, like using Zoom and all sorts of other things, Facebook. People, one of the funny things is people giving money. People give money less now, going to give money less in the offering, and it's going to be more done digitally. Congregations, churches will get smaller, and there won't be about big, big churches, but our church will probably be a typical size. They estimate that 20% of people who used to go to church won't go back to church when all this is over. And there's also an idea that churches are going to be really reaching out again to non-Christians, and we're going to see our growth come from people who don't know Jesus rather than people swapping churches, which is exciting to me. And I thought, wow, you know what? I knew God was going to do something different. I knew things were going to be different. And I knew we needed to change a lot of stuff in church. But before the pandemic happened, a lot of that stuff was predicted. And me as a pastor, I sort of kicked, if you know the expression of kicking the can down the road, I kept kicking the can down the road. And I'm thinking, well, what do we need our website for? What do we need to put stuff on Facebook for? What do we need to do Zoom for? All that stuff. But suddenly it's all come forward. It's all come together. But I believe, and I believe this passionately, that God is not finished with his church. That God still wants to do something incredible across this whole country with his church. And I'm not just talking about Burslem, Elim. I'm talking about all the churches together. That God is not finished. And often when we're at the point where we're struggling, at the point where things are really hard, that's when God does his greatest miracles. And that's when God turns around things and changes stuff. And I believe as a church that God is calling us to be committed to his kingdom, to be prepared to make sacrifices to him. And that our greatest days of our church and the church in the UK are in front of us. And a little while ago, as a pastor, sometimes I sort of think I know what's going on. And other times I haven't got a clue what's happening. And I was praying a few weeks ago and I was like, God, I've managed to get us through the COVID first pandemic bit about pulling people together. But I'm like, what's going to happen now? Do you ever have those moments of not knowing what's next? And I thought, well, the best thing to do is to pray. So I spent some time praying. And as I was praying for strategy and wisdom of going forward in the church, I read a book about Lego. It wasn't in the Bible, this bit. Okay, this was a book about Lego, of all things. If you know me, you'll know I absolutely love Lego. So you can flick to the next slide, David. Is that okay? And Lego, a few years ago, you may not realize this, but the Lego company nearly went bankrupt about 18 years ago. They thought they were going to have to sell Lego, possibly sell the company. They thought they weren't going to make it. And they had a guy who came in, and he had devised a strategy. And this strategy was this. Number one, survival. Just get them to survive. Number two, his next part of his plan was this, was reestablishing and transformation. So getting Lego back to where it was supposed to be. And number three was organic growth. And it really struck me. This kind of matches up a little bit to COVID. Because you know, when we started the pandemic, I don't like using this word, a survival here, okay? I prefer the word adapt. But when the pandemic hit 18 months ago, we went a little bit of survival mode, didn't we? We sort of went there. How do we stay together? How do we connect together? And then we looked at how we reached people. And the thing I love about our church is there's people who are new to our fellowship and new to our church community after COVID and weren't with us at the beginning. And we had to adapt for a season. But using Zoom, using stuff online, just being online, was never going to be forever. But we managed to do that, number one, really well. But I believe now that we're going to go into a reestablishing and transformation phase. And what I mean by that is this. Is I believe God is going to change the way that we do church slowly. And what struck me with Lego is that with Lego, if you know the story of Lego, they stopped making it about the Lego brick. And they started doing lots of other stuff. And the thing they had to realize when they survived and when they're reestablishing everything, that Lego, what's the most important thing about Lego? The brick, isn't it? They had to come back to the brick. And guys, for us as church, I believe in our church and churches across the country, sometimes we were caught up with doing so much else and just doing church that we forgot about the most important thing sometimes, which was God. At the center of it all, it's God and the cross. And I love the way that Lego just reestablished things slowly. They adapted for the new world. They changed the way they did things. They made Lego computer games. They made Lego films. They did all sorts of other, they made little Lego dolls, everything linking around the brick, but it was all about the brick. And guys, for us as a church, I think we're going to go through a phase, I believe, where we're going to be reestablished and it's going to be transformation. Things will be slightly different. but it's all going to be about God. It's coming back to Him and sharing His message with His message of the cross right at the center. And just because we might do things differently, the most important thing is that Jesus is at the center. And then the third phase is this, organic growth. I believe after we've reestablished ourselves and we've transformed into the church that God wants us to be, that we're going to see organic growth. And I don't just mean numbers and bums on seats. I mean as in Christians growing in their faith and their relationship with Jesus, ready to change the world. I believe our people in our congregation going out and starting new churches. I believe people in our congregation seeing amazing things happen at work. And I believe this is going to be the outpouring of what God wants to do with us. So those are the things I really believe the next phase. Can you flick the next slide for me? Is that right, David? Cheers. Flick the next one. Sorry, here we go. Brilliant. So go back one. Sorry, David, go back a bit. I've made a mistake there. So that's brilliant. So I messed up my PowerPoint here. But number one, there's three things as we go through this phase of reestablishing and transforming church. There's three priorities over the next couple of years, however long this takes us, we're going to focus on for the next phase of church. Number one is this. This sounds very fancy, but it's actually quite simple. Flick next slide for me. Sorry, David. There we go. One more. There we go. This is it. Perfect. Thank you. We're going to readjust to a hybrid online and in-person model. Flick the next slide. Is that okay? That just means being online and in person. Do you know what some people are saying to me? Oh, Jim, Zoom's not quite the same as church. It's not quite the same as church. But isn't there something great about being able to go on Zoom and be able to connect in? Do you know what I loved about our Bible studies? On a Wednesday night when we've got people joining us from Shrewsbury, from Haddonhill, from London, from Turkey, from Newcastle, from Stoke. I love the mixture of the way people could connect with us from all over the place, North Wales, you name it. But I also love the fact that we can come together as a church and we're going to have this togetherness of here and work together with having a hybrid model of online and in person. We're going to get better at doing this. So hopefully we're going to get better at using social media. We're going to get better at streaming our services. We're getting the internet put back in the building soon. And we're going to get better at helping people grow as Christians through being in person and online as well. Do you know, I was doing a bit of research for this. Do you know when the printing press came into place, when people started printing books, there were Christians who said it would be the death of Christianity. Printing books about Christianity. Can you imagine that? There are Christians who think the internet is really bad, but it's not. We're going to use this. It's not about how many views we get or going to be about how many bums on seats we get. It's going to be helping people to connect to Jesus, to grow in their Christian journey. You know, as a church, we need to adapt because we don't want to be stuck in the past. What really makes me laugh is when we've got churches that sing songs. If you're listening to this online and you are one of these churches, please forgive me. Okay, but what makes me laugh is when they sing these old hymns that were like 200 years old and they only sing hymns that are 200 years old. Can I let you into a little secret? Some of those hymns that are 200 years old were based on the songs that they were singing in the pubs 200 years ago, okay? They were really hip and modern 200 years ago, but they can't adapt. And the reality is we've got to adapt to a new world. We've got to adapt to a new way of doing things. I saw a church this week, and on their order of service, they were singing a Katy Perry song to start off. I'm like, I'm not quite that extreme yet, okay, but that was absolutely brilliant. For those of you who don't know who Katy Perry is, Google her. Okay, and you'll find out why I think it's quite amusing. But I encourage you, if you read Acts 2 and Acts 17 later on at home, you'll see how Paul and Peter, they shared the same message, but they shared it differently depending who they were talking to. So we need to get better at this. Next slide for me, David, is that all right? The next thing we want to do is this. We want to prioritize our youth and children. In church, we want to emphasize our youth and kids, and we want to try and really help them grow as disciples. Now, some of you may say this at times, and you'll forgive me for saying this, but one of those things, you know, those little things that irritates me, is one of these, is when people talk about the children being the church of the future. Do you know what irritates me? Because I don't believe children are the church of the future. I believe children are the church of today. And I believe children can have an impact and youth can have an impact in the church today. And I believe this, that if we wait and for our children to be the church of the future, they're not going to be here in the future. So I believe that we need to get our kids and our youth involved in church. And we want to do this. So we're going to change slightly how we do things. And you'll discover that the next few weeks I'm going to share on this. But we want our young Christians in the church, we want our kids and our youth to get excited about Jesus, to transform the world about them in Jesus. Jesus said, "Bring the little children unto me." Now, if you read the old English translation, it says, "Suffer the little children unto me." And do you know what's happening? So many churches have tried to make children suffer for the last few years, okay? And we want to change that. We want to get kids excited about Jesus to turn the world around. So we're going to unpack that the next few weeks. And the next one as well, cheers, David, is this. We want to raise up and equip spiritual mothers and fathers. Now, for those of you in church, you have a little barcode in front of you on the pew. If you scan that, it will take you through to the PowerPoint notes from today. And if you're watching on the video, there'll be a link below. But on that little link, burzum.org.uk/Sunday supplements, there is a video there by a guy called Mike Pilavachi. And he unpacks this beautifully. And I'd encourage you to watch it later. Because I believe that this, that word about having spiritual mothers and fathers, when I heard this message, I believe it was really important for Burslem. You know, we need people to get alongside each other to help people grow in their faith. Over the last few months, it's been brilliant. When new people have come to church, different people have connected with them and helped them to grow and helped them to root themselves in Stoke. But I want to see that happening more and more and more. A few years ago, I met a lady. I won't say where she was, but you probably will be watching the video. And she was a Christian for 10 years. And she said, "Oh, I'm still a baby Christian. I've only been a Christian for 10 years. And I was like, "What? 10 years a Christian? You're not a baby Christian anymore. You're someone who needs to get alongside people and support younger Christians. Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, go out and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say pastors, go out and make disciples. He didn't say just worship leaders, go out and make disciples. He didn't say just church leaders, go out and make disciples. He said, Christians, followers of me, go out and make disciples. And I believe that all of us have our part to play in helping younger Christians and other Christians grow in their faith. You know, I really want to honor Sheila, Margaret, and Kathleen sitting in the back of church there. They've got alongside so many people and encouraged them. I know Steve's done it. He's been getting alongside people and encouraging them, giving them information. I know others have done the same thing. And I know this is what we're called to do. We're called to encourage each other to grow in our faith, to be spiritual mothers and fathers. My wife said to me when I shared this message, she said, "Jim, just don't go telling people to have more children, okay? Just emphasize a spiritual mother and father. Not that you have to go out and have more kids." But I remember when I was 22 year old, I was a 22 year old minister. My goodness, 22 years old, and someone trusted me to be a pastor. I still think that's amazing. But I once heard these words by an American pastor called Tommy Bonner, and he said this. He said, "God has given you everything you need to build the house. Everything that we need for Burslem Elam Church is in Burslem Elam Church, including the people." And those words spoke to me. And I believe that God has called us to advance his kingdom here in Burslem and to Stoke-on-Trent and beyond. I believe God has given us all the talents and the gifts that we need for this next step. But it's great talking the talk. But we've got to be committed to what God, way God wants to use us. Committed to seeing God impact people's lives and impact the community. And I believe as we grow, as we work together, in the name and under the direction of Jesus, we're going to see the church's greatest days ahead. So I'm going to unpack, and there's quite a lot mentioned there, but I'm going to unpack this the next few weeks. But I believe that God really wants to step us on to the next level. And if you look in Facebook 18 months ago, when I thought coronavirus was just going to be a few old people locked in the house for a couple of months, I never thought it was going to be this bad. And I stood here on that Sunday evening, and I wasn't sure about sharing it, but I said, I've got a suspicion that church, God's going to do something radically different with us. And he's telling us things are going to change. And when I said that, I thought we might be closing our coffee morning or something like that, okay? Something little. I never expected the things to happen that have happened. But that was a word that God gave me. And I believe that word that God gave me is coming to fruition. But we can't just sit back and say, okay, God, you do it. We've got to work at it with God.